You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of December 13th, 2017. And what's that we hear? Santa's coming down the chimney with the gamies. It's Tim Allen, run!
It's Tim Allen, open fire!
Get him!
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Abor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And it is the most wonderful time of the year. We're fully into the awards season.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen the Game Awards.
Yeah.
The
slightly less popular award show than the one we're hosting here today.
Exactly. It's where everybody is a winner. And anything can happen.
That's true.
And often does.
Whoa.
We've come to the time of the year where we gather the best nominees from across the video game landscape and put them together in our completely fake and pointless award show that we call The Gamies.
The Gamies. Another Christmas miracle this year.
Yeah. Just not too subtle jab at everyone doing their top lists of the year 1 week before we do our top list of the year.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I like our top list because I think that we recognize games, events, ideas that often get left off of the award season list.
Yes.
Everyone's too busy chomping at the bit to nominate some fucking Nintendo game for Game of the Year. So this time, we get to nominate some of the weirder things.
Yeah.
We change this up every year.
Yes.
Last year, we had a big old list of contenders.
Yeah.
This year, we have some new categories, some new nominees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited, as always.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's start with a category that we started with last year. It is the Prettiest Game Award.
The Prettiest Game Award. So last year, I believe we gave the award to Uncharted 4.
I believe so, yeah.
Which was a very pretty game.
Yeah.
The contenders this year, the nominees.
The nominees are...
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Cuphead.
Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice.
And The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
These are some pretty games. Scott.
I mean, this is going to be a theme that comes up over and over again, but fucking 2017.
What a year.
Dumpster fire outside of video games.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But inside of video games, amazing.
It's like the one respite. You know? It's like our little bubble dome. This is the year where finally our crops like brooms. Oh, wonderful.
Fucking, I mean... They're all really good-looking games in pretty different ways.
I'm going to cross off right off the list Hellblade.
Ooh.
It is a pretty game, but the reason it can't be a contender is because regardless of what you think about it, the FMV stuff is pretty uggo. That is some... like that is
We
just
like
some
the
weird,
FMV.
We did, for like, narrative reasons.
Okay.
But you don't look at that and go, oh, yeah, that's pretty.
Okay. Well, you're able... Basically, you can disqualify it because it's FMV.
Yes, I think
so. Okay. All right. I'll go along with that one just because I also think Horizon Zero Dawn and Hellblade are pretty for kind of the same reasons.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a hard time. It is really hard for me to think of a reason why Cuphead doesn't win this.
Okay. Well, what about it's a ripoff from an old art style and they're not really doing anything new?
But I mean, that's you could say that for anything. Horizon Zero Dawn is a ripoff of any sci-fi
I would argue Breath of the Wild we can get off the list. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
But it's still very much like in its Zelda milieu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
But I mean, think about when you climb a mountain and it's dawn and you see the sun cresting over.
But the dawn in Legend of Zelda doesn't hold a candle to the dawn in Zero Dawn. There is, in fact, more than zero dawns. There are multiple dawns.
Countless dawns.
Countless dawns. There was a time where I was riding my like robot horse or whatever
classic.
Through the landscape, right? And the sun was cresting over a mountain and it was like bleeding through the trees. Mm-hmm. I think unquestionably Horizon Zero Dawn is the most beautiful game in 2017 that I've played and have seen.
But that Cuphead, all of the animation, it has all of the frames.
It is beautiful, but is it pretty? You know, like when we're talking pretty, right?
We need to be more superficial.
I think we need to be a little bit more superficial, right? I think we need to think of like, you know, the landscape the morning dew, right?
Is there a technical component? This was an HDR enabled game.
It was absolutely yeah. looked great. PS4, yeah. 4K TV, mm. gorgeous. What would work better with David Attenborough narrating it? I think it's the question we need to ask ourselves, and I think the answer is Horizon Zero Dawn.
Did anyone in your household see both of these games?
Yeah, besides Nicole saw you. Both. Yeah. Nicole saw both.
What was like? What was more of a like? Whoa! What is that type of reaction?
Oh, that's a good. I think it has to. It's got to be Horizon Zero Dawn. I think Cuphead should be like, why are you playing a cartoon?
What is? How this? Did you do this?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if because for me, I don't know. I don't think anyone aside from me saw both of these games. So I can't do the tests of the, you like, can't do hey, the, what is
the
that?
The neutral test, yeah. yeah, yeah.
Okay, Horizon Zero Dawn, I'm convinced. Prettiest game.
And look, Cuphead's a pretty game, too.
Fucking,
okay?
I mean, this game, yes, it's it was a pretty year for games.
Well, congratulations, Horizon Zero Dawn, you're a very pretty game.
Yeah, and we realized that we didn't bold these last year, so we kind of forgot what we did.
Yeah, now we don't we
although, actually,
remember
it's probably on the website, but then it takes a while to find.
We gotta listen to it.
Yeah.
Who wants to do that?
No, no, I mean, maybe if I was good, I put it in the notes. Oh, whatever, we're not gonna do that.
Okay, next on our list.
Yeah.
One of our favorite categories. Yes. The best waifu/husbandu material.
Yes.
In case we have new listeners, Scott, do you want to describe what this category is recognizing?
Yeah, it's recognizing our future spouses. It's kind of a it's the closest we get to potentially making fun of people for getting too obsessed with video game characters.
Yes,
but it's the video game character that they got your back.
They got your back. They're there for
that's
you.
Your virtual husbandu.
Exactly right. So the nominees this year are Marina from Splatoon 2.
Yep.
We have 2B from Nier Automata.
Yeah.
We have Makoto from Persona 5. Mm. I should say, I nominated Makoto. She's really just a stand-in for any of the Persona 5 cast, I would argue.
For Persona 5.
For Persona 5, the game. You added Cappy. Very good choice, I think. And you also added Rabid Peach. Because she is a total bae.
Okay. Tell me about Persona 5.
Okay. Persona 5, and I should say, Makoto is the character in Persona 5 that I believe the game is written to have you partner with.
Okay.
Right? As I've said before in our Persona 5 sort of like mini debrief, all of the characters are really like angry and capable and they kick a lot of ass. Makoto is this like goody two-shoes girl. Mm. But then in the world of Persona 5, when she summons her persona, she's got like leather outfit and her persona is like a literal fucking motorcycle that she runs enemies over with and stuff.
So you got a kind of end of Grease type of situation happening here.
Grease is, but she's both characters.
Okay.
From Grease. Right?
Okay.
She's like,
time.
Exactly. Yeah. Goody two shoes and then like the leather lady with like the whip and stuff. Super smart, fundamental to the plot.
Mm.
Cool character overall. Mm.
Rabid Peach can heal you and is probably crucial to finishing that game.
That's true. I had Rabid Peach in my party the entire game.
I don't know if I ever rotated Rabid Peach out.
Yeah, I did not either.
Yeah.
But she is just copycatting somebody else. Like this is like this is like a single white that's female true. Scenario, you know?
Interesting.
Like could you be with someone who was that crazy, you know? Would you really is she marriage material?
Love finds a way.
Love does find a way.
I mean,
she's also taken all kinds of selfies.
That's true. She is kind of obnoxious. That's a good point. She's pretty obnoxious with her phone.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like you'd be at a restaurant trying to like have a conversation,
and she'd be taking selfies of herself with the dish.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Mm.
Cappy. He takes you on an adventure.
He takes you on an adventure. Yeah. Here's the problem, right?
Sweet ride.
See, sweet ride.
Yeah.
He lets you live the dream, literally, of being other people, right?
Yeah.
Like, he enables you to really enrich yourself in the world of
Odyssey. He protects you.
The problem is he's taken.
Oh, right? That's true.
Because
that's
Cappy
true.
Is like quite...
He's
I'm
looking
sure,
for the tiara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like straight up, they are like a wedding gown thing. Best man? Absolutely. Absolutely, Cappy is my best man.
Man.
Is he husbandu material? I don't know.
I mean, he would be, but clearly someone already got there. Does that disqualify him?
Though? I also feel like there's this... That's true.
Yeah.
They could get a divorce.
They could divorce, split them up. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't actually know if divorce is legal in the hat
<That's>
world.
<true. laughs>
The thing about Cappy, though, I feel like I would have this slight fear my entire life that he just might possess me one day. You know?
Oh, that's trust, though. I mean, that's a, that's a relationship. True. A relationship is opening yourself up to potentially being hurt.
And possessed by your loved one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's table that for a minute.
Let's table that for a second.
Okay, Marina.
Splatoon 2 person.
The internet is obsessed with her.
Yes.
She's also the nice one out of Marina and What's-Her-Face.
Yep.
The mean one.
Yeah, the mean one. Yeah, that's right.
I played a little Splatoon 2 just recently to
try to woo her.
To reconnect with Marina.
Yeah, because it'd been a while.
She's awesome.
She's super fresh.
Yeah.
I would argue that Marina is a workaholic. When do you really see these characters outside of the recording studio? Mm, you know?
Could be true. That's true. I mean, you do meet, I guess, well, no, you're right. No, you only meet Callie and Marie outside of the recording
studio. And even then,
studio.
That's true. I mean, can we just put Callie back on here?
No. Well, actually, technically, she's in Splatoon 2. Yeah.
And she's so much more mature now.
That's true. And she goes on an adventure and stuff. Yeah. That's, yeah. But, I mean, Marina's pretty good.
I mean, Marina's pretty good, yeah. Right? I fear, though, that if you were to waifu Marina, it would be like, you'd be showing off. You know what I mean? It's like marrying a celebrity. You know what I mean? Like, is that really, is it going to work out?
Marina,
she's going to meet some like hot young Splatoon player.
But she's the nice one. It's the Pearl is the one that is, that's her name, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's pearlescent. Yeah. Right? She's perfectly
that's
white.
That's the one who would definitely leave you if you're, I don't know.
Do you think there's implications that Marina is an octopus head, but everyone else is in a squid world? Is that what you like about her?
I have not finished the single player yet, so I know there is some sort of weird beef between the octoids or whatever and the Inklings. But she seems to get along with Inklings. Like, there doesn't seem to be prejudice there.
Yeah, there's no beef there for her. That's true. She's open-minded.
Then. Yeah.
Is she better than 2B, which we also have on our list?
2B, I think 2B is the one to beat in this category.
I think so.
Because, well, I mean, if you think about it, she has the same problems, though, as some of these other characters, where she may stab you.
That's true.
And she might be programmed to stab you.
That's a very good point. But is she programmed to love? She can, and we've seen her, right, resist some of her programming.
I mean, especially towards the end of Nier, I mean, light spoilers.
Yeah.
She sacrifices herself to try to save 9S.
Is being killed by 2B its own fetish, though?
Almost certainly, yes.
Almost definitely, yes.
Is 2B problematic because she's essentially a 50-hour upskirt shot?
That's definitely problematic.
Yeah.
Okay, well, counterpoint. Why not 9S here?
Because 9S sucks.
What? I like 9S.
He's whiny.
How about A2?
Okay, I'll go with it. I could get... Well...
She doesn't bathe. She clearly doesn't bathe.
Yeah, A2... But I feel like A2 learns something from 2B.
That's true.
Because she doesn't think that 2B can transcend
her programming.
That's true.
I think the best part of A2 in that series is...
Is taking on the mantle of 2B.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, to be honest, I think I'm kind of convinced about Marina. Because I feel like everyone else is problematic in some way. Like, even Makoto is like, oh, maybe she's too goody-two-shoes or whatever.
Marina,
I can't marry the entire cast of Persona 5.
I would say Marina is the kindest one. Because even in her TV show, she's always thinking about, like, oh, like, I don't really want to pick a side here. Can't everyone have a good time? Pearl is always kind of mean to her, and she just, you know, is cool with it.
She also just has the least baggage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all of these other characters. Like, you're going to have some things. I mean... Marriages,
you
know, that's a struggle.
Yeah.
That's something you work on.
Yeah.
But I feel like Marina's a good fresh start.
Staying fresh, too.
Exactly.
All right. Let's lock it in. Marina.
Marina, man, congratulations.
I can't believe 2B got passed up for this.
But now we have to fight all of the other internet weebs for the honor and the privilege.
2B, help us. Slice all of them.
Okay. Next category.
Yes. Biggest gear grinders. The thing that really just, these things just irritate us.
I think it's good to recognize these.
Yes.
Loot boxes.
Yes,
I'm pretty
period.
Sure this was on our list last year.
I'm pretty sure it was too. Let's hold on. Let's take a look.
Did it win last year?
No. Hanjo. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure Hanjo won.
Okay, that's definitely true. So our biggest gear grinder, loot boxes.
Loot boxes.
That seems to be the internet's biggest gear grinder right now. So it is very hot topic.
Yeah.
Lack of cross-platform accounts. I added this one.
Yeah.
So basically, I found it really irritating, and it's one of my gear grinders, and I know it's not feasible, the fact that I have a Destiny 2 account on PC and one on my PlayStation 4, but I can't cross-save.
I mean, I think just saves in general are kind of janky still.
Mm, yeah. In this day and age.
Even like the Switch, like it would be so much, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff, but definitely the Destiny 2 stuff, Overwatch.
Yeah.
Okay, ludicrously massive collector's editions.
Yes, I also added this mostly because I really wanted the Persona 5 backpack, but then I would own a Persona 5 backpack. So.
Death Stranding.
This game is not out yet, but the marketing.
You're already grinding your gears over.
Well, we haven't talked about the new trailer. Did you watch it?
I did not watch it yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I showed Nicole it, and I was like, "Hey, you should let's watch this. Yeah. Let's watch this video game."
It's just totally casual.
Yeah, let's watch this video game. 2 minutes in, she's like, "What the fuck is going on? What is this about?" And I was like, "Exactly." Yeah.
And then this last one, is this a category?
So I basically added like net neutrality stuff, the politics shit. I feel like, I thought we were done with this.
Oh, no, we're never done with this.
Okay. So those are our gear grinders.
I mean, net neutrality for me, net neutrality is a good thing. The attack on it grinds my gears.
Yes.
It's hard for me to...
It's too big. I think it chomps up and eats the gears. So let's just forget that one.
Yeah. Okay. Let's cut that one just because that's something that you should just be outraged on a moral level rather than just a
petty level. Yeah. Like the rest of these.
How much is ludicrously massive collector's editions impacting your life?
That's a very good point. It doesn't impact my life much until I see one that I want and I realize it's like
$100.
Exactly. So fair enough. How about loot boxes though? We talked about it. We had a loot box episode.
So I feel like loot boxes do irritate me, but it's almost a moral reason as well, because I feel like they're more and more exploitative as
things
go on.
And there could be potentially good loot boxes.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the Overwatch stuff was okay. But maybe it ushered it. Maybe it normalized it. Ushered in this whole era. So,
You know, I think the winner, in my opinion, is Death Stranding.
I don't even see the new thing though.
I mean,
does it irritate you though?
It does.
Why does it irritate you?
Because I am not convinced that this is anywhere close to what the game is going to be.
I mean, for all you know, I mean, this is coming from a creator.
The other thing. Mm. I'm a little sick about how much Kojima is just loving on Guillermo del Toro and Mads Mikkelsen on social media. Okay? It makes me jealous. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like PDA. You know what I mean? It's just public displays of affection online for his like creative team.
But what do you say to the fact that if I gave you the opportunity to play Death Stranding, you would drop everything and play it?
100%. But that's partially the point, right? Because it's like, you fucking know you can get away with this, you know?
Okay, so he's exploiting his position.
I think that he's exploiting the fact that he can do whatever the fuck he wants and makes the weirdest shit, and I just sit there and eat it up. I've seen the Death Stranding trailer 4 times. It's like 11 minutes long. Okay.
Okay, that's good. Okay, we're calling it then. Death Stranding.
Yes.
Man, that really came in under the wire.
It did.
Because I feel like we didn't really talk about it that much this year.
It's fresh on my mind because I just watched for the fourth time the Death Stranding trailer from PSX.
All right, congrats, Death Stranding. You are the biggest gear grinder of 2017.
I think so.
And potentially the most anticipated game of 2018.
Exactly right. Will it grind our gears next year?
I was about to say, or let's realistically say 2019.
And best husbandu. Yeah. I mean, it's any of this. It could win every category.
All right, next category is the... it's a first-time category. It's the should I play this?
Yeah, this is category. A good one. Yeah, what do we have in here?
We have Yakuza 0, parentheses, and Yakuza in general.
Yes, also true.
Sonic Mania.
Yep.
Stardew Valley on Switch.
I'm already playing that.
Okay, well, this is my question then. Warframe.
Yep.
Story-driven sports games.
Yes.
And Dream Daddy.
Yes.
This is a strong category.
So the question, though, that I have about this category is... Does the winner mean that, yes, I should play this? Or is the winner the one that I most am in turmoil deciding whether or not I should play this?
I feel like it's... To me, when I was thinking about this, it was more like if I see the box in GameStop, like, or if I see it, should I play this?
Yeah. It's the most like, The one that I'm going to stare at the box longest when it's on sale
and
then I might never play it.
Exactly. You might never play it. And one of the reasons why you're staring at it might be because, oh, I should play this. Yeah. You know, I feel like that's, for me, that's Dream Daddy. Where it's gotten so much buzz this year. And every time I see the logo, I'm like, oh.
But the thing is, because it's an indie game, I would argue that, like, just buy it. Even if you don't play it, at least you'll buy it. You know what I mean? I think next time Dream Daddy's on sale, even if I'm not gonna play it, I'll probably buy it. You know?
Okay. Well, I mean, that's I think that's a strong case for it then.
Oh, as a winner.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, how about Yakuza?
I should play this, though.
Yeah, Yakuza, to me, occupies the same area that Persona occupies in my brain.
Here's why I would think Yakuza beats out Dream Daddy. Right? Okay. There is a narrative and cultural context to Yakuza 0 that I don't have because I've never played a Yakuza game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Dream Daddy, it's like, you know, we live in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I've played romance simulator games before. I get it. Like, I get the context of it, right? Like, I want to find the sexiest, most responsible daddies to help me raise my young teen, right?
Yeah.
Or child or whatever. Yeah. Yakuza 0, though, like, I have no idea. If I play that, do I have to watch an hour-long episode about the rest of the Yakuza series?
I watched a part of a Let's Play of it, and it's actually a prequel to the other Yakuzas that is set in 1980 that actually references some of the other Yakuza. Yeah. So, yeah, it seems...
I feel like you're solidifying my point.
It seems deep, yeah. But Sonic Mania was held up as... a good Sonic game.
Oh, God, yeah.
And every time someone says that, A, I call bullshit because there are no good Sonic games. No. Come at me, internet.
No such thing exists.
But B, it was roundly announced as a good Sonic game.
Sonic Mania is a good one, too, because all of the narrative baggage that Yakuza has, Sonic has just because it's Sonic.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's a lot to overcome there.
Oh, yeah.
And do you want to get your heart broken again?
Fucking Sonic.
Why did you add Stardew to the list? I've been playing this, so I've already made my decision.
Because for me, that is an endless well that you can just throw hours into.
Yeah.
And so when I look at it, I'm like, oh, should I play this or should I play 10 other games and have something different to talk about?
These are all really good. Yeah. So Warframe I added because...
I don't know anything about Warframe.
So Warframe, by Digital Extremes, I would say, this game came out years ago.
Yeah.
But... has grown and they've added more and more content.
Yeah.
It's free to play. It really popped off this year. Yeah. I think because of just a series of patches, it has hit like critical success. Okay. And it already did years ago. It's just sort of coming back to light.
Yeah.
So it's super tempting and it's free to play.
Mm.
But do I want to invest into like another free to play Warframe thing? We had some recommendations, or I did at least, for playing Warframe specifically because I was disappointed by Destiny 2.
Oh,
and Warframe would fill that same void.
Yeah.
But then you're entering another free-to-play space.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Story-driven sports games. This had a minor amount of buzz this year, but everyone that I've listened to talk about 2K or Madden has said that there are interesting things happening in the single player of these sports games.
And every single year at E3, they show off another fucking FIFA game. And I'm like, oh, maybe this is the year.
This is the year. The beautiful game.
Yeah, this is the time. I'm like, me and Messi, we got this. Like, and it never happens.
Yeah.
But the even the story-driven stuff, we talked about it in our E3 debrief, is exactly something that's very tempting.
Yeah.
I didn't play it, but I don't know.
It's also something that gets you back into sports games, a genre that has gotten so simulation-based that it's well-nigh impenetrable.
Yep.
It's like, oh, this is a story-based thing rather than a pure compete, so maybe I can wedge my way in.
These are all really good.
Yeah.
All right, let's just go with your gut. I will go with my gut. We'll say the game at the same time.
Okay.
And maybe we'll get lucky.
So 1, 2, 3 game?
1, 2, 3 game.
Okay.
And maybe if we're lucky, it's the same game. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Sonic Yakuza. Mania.
God damn it. I don't believe that there is a good Sonic game. I think Sonic...
the answer is no. You shouldn't.
The answer is no. Because what I would argue is people's argument about Sonic Mania is this is a good Sonic game.
Yes.
Not a good game.
That's a very good Sonic game. Yeah, that's a very good point.
So that's where I'm coming down on it.
Your argument then is the people who are saying this, their standards have dropped so low.
Yeah. I mean, these people are starving.
Yeah.
And you give them a warmed over hot dog from a 7-Eleven, and to a starving man, that's a banquet.
That's a very good point. Okay. I think in that case, we can give it to Yakuza 0.
All right.
Because Yakuza is very high on my list.
It is. It is. Okay. Well, hey, congrats. Yakuza 0/all the series.
Will we play them next year?
No, probably not. But, okay, let's, speaking of Japan.
Yeah.
Another inaugural category for 2017 Gamey Awards. It's the Damn Japan.
Okay, so this one comes out of the fact that the Japanese games industry knocked it out of the fucking park this year.
Yep.
And made all kinds of weird games and successful games.
Yeah.
So this isn't our best game from Japan list.
No.
Right?
It's just Damn Japan.
Okay, so the nominees for Damn Japan. Neo. Very good one. Nier Automata.
Yep.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
And Super Mario Galaxy?
Sorry, I meant Odyssey.
Odyssey.
Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
So of these four, what is the most Damn Japan-ish? I think to some extent you have to take a game that distills so much of the weirdness and ingenuity that Japan brought to the table this year. Unfortunately, all of these games do that.
I mean, so I don't think this will win. I think it will win different categories later on, but The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, when you meet the horse god...
Fuck, yeah.
That you can resurrect your horses?
Yeah.
Or the weird...
Oh, you know what? I think hands down it's Breath of the Wild. Because there's some weird shit that I forget about. Like, that time I discovered, like, a weird banquet of spirit creatures going on at night and stuff. Yeah. But, because I was going to say, Nier, super weird.
But that's what I'm saying. Nier, you play... You fight a menu in that game.
Yes. Yes. True. And we can talk about the gamiest games when we get to
the titular
gamey, right? I think, though, that Nier slightly goes off that deep end where it becomes indecipherable for some people.
Mm.
But there is a purity to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I think that...
Could you make the argument that Super Mario Odyssey is single-handedly keeping an entire genre alive?
I mean, yes,
the 3D platformer.
Yes, you could make that. But... Is that more significant than Breath of the Wild breathing in a brand new, unexpected experience into a genre we thought was already mastered in the form of open world games?
Does the fact that Neo has essentially six different control schemes mean anything to you?
That is the bonkersest, weird stance, hardcore... Damn, Japan. Why you gotta make this so difficult? The land of the rising sun. What do you... Okay, here's my question. Here's my question. What game... And I think this is... Maybe this is how we make our decision. What would the Japanese say here? You know what I mean? If we did a poll, if we were like, damn... Like, okay, let's imagine you and I travel to Tokyo.
Okay.
And we've got a big old sign on our back, like one of those Japanese battle stamps.
Please says, pick a game.
Damn Japan? Mark. And we just ask people on the street, like, what game would you choose... As an ambassador to your country, to the rest of the world, that is a representative of your games industry and culture.
This is why I love this exercise.
Okay.
Because it lets us make wild speculations based off of nothing. That are hilarious to listen to. So I think that Nier Automata might actually irritate Japanese people because Westerners... like it so much for being a it's a weird Japanese game. It's like, come on, man.
That's true. Because for all we know, they'd be like, oh, you think that's weird? You should try whatever Doki Doki, whatever. And it's like some crazy game where like literally a guy like busts down your door in real life and tases you.
So I mean, I think it's it might be like, oh, this is just Westerners thinking that we're weird. It's just being obnoxious.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. And then I would argue Neo, because it's an English protagonist, you've got a little bit of the like, well,
that's also highly Japanese because they're obsessed with weird like medievalism.
You can also get an outfit that is like the British guard, you know, with the big old like tall
the beef eater,
the beef eater,
That's funny.
Pretty weird. Fuck.
I think
it's got to be Odyssey though. In this case, right? Surely Mario is like their brand ambassador.
Okay, to be fair. Remember the end of the previous Olympics where they were announcing Japan as the host, and and Super Mario was with the Prime Minister of Japan.
That's true. Yeah. Well, and these days, is Mario the Prime Minister of Japan? I don't know. Be. I haven't been
actually. He's
up to
the
date.
Emperor.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he's exactly right. The Mario dynasty. I think it's got to be Mario because even Breath of the Wild.
But did Mario redefine? So I think Breath of the Wild, more so than Mario. I think Breath of the Wild will be some people's. So there are people making games now that grew up on A Link to the Past.
Yes.
And like, okay, this is why I need to be in games.
Yeah.
I feel like Breath of the Wild is stronger in that category than Odyssey is.
Yeah, that's true. And I also think that Odyssey is more of a callback to the past Mario series, even while it is also an advancement,
yeah,
than Breath of the Wild is. I was also going to say, I think that there is a certain like awe of nature and desire to experience nature that is quite Japanese.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. In Breath of the Wild.
I mean, there's definitely the... There's that old Zelda feel of the unexpected that is translated and is uniquely...
And the landscape of Japan, maybe you could find a little bit in Breath of the Wild.
But then Mario Odyssey had that whole Pauline sequence.
But that's in New York.
That's in New Donk City.
But that's clearly New York. That's not like a Tokyo. That's not like if there was a Neo Tokyo.
It's New Donk City.
Okay, sure.
We gotta go Zelda.
I think we have to go Zelda.
Oh man. Okay. Fuck. Damn Japan.
I did not expect the damn Japan category to be so hard. We'll revisit this, I'm sure.
Yes.
When it comes to our actual goaties. This is a long list. This category. This is the man. What the fuck category?
Yeah.
This is kind of like our bummer, like what happened kind of thing. On this list, the nominees are The Walking Dead Season 3.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
It's because we didn't play it.
Exactly. Drawn to Death.
Yeah.
Virtual Reality.
just as a category. Yeah.
Pyre. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Middle Earth Shadow of War. Mm-hmm. Didn't play it also.
Yeah.
Nintendo Mobile Games.
Yeah.
And Destiny 2.
This is a strong list. And I mean, again, this is the gamies, so you have to get creative with the categories.
That's true. So, man,
this can mean a lot of things.
So, what does man, what the fuck, mean to you?
I mean, when it comes to Walking Dead, for me, it's like, it's not so much of a whiny man, what the fuck. It's like a man, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What happened?
True. Well, and then Telltale like fired 60% of their workforce.
That's true. They really...
and good people that like have been at that company for a really long time.
Yeah, it seems like something is happening over there, and. It's just, and for us, I mean, remember, that was one of our top games, The Walking Dead Season 1.
It's still one of my top games.
Yeah, I mean, that is an achievement. That is just a great video game. And it's fallen to the point where we didn't even play Season 3.
Yeah.
I didn't even really know it was out.
Did people talk about it? Was it like, oh, this was great?
I mean, apparently Clementine is involved, but that's all I know.
Gosh. Yeah. I mean, now we're at a point where you mentioned Clementine, and I think the orange, you know?
it's finally
not expect
gone.
That to happen.
Drawn to Death, this was just really, it seemed like a lot of immature bullshit and David Jaffe going the wrong way, you know, rather than the right way.
But that's not unique for either David Jaffe or the games industry.
I guess that's true.
Virtual reality.
Okay, neither one of us have a VR setup.
I came pretty close this year.
Yeah, but it's 2017.
I know.
We've been talking about this for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck is happening? I mean, neither one of us have a VR headset.
And I still think that, you know, maybe around the corner, maybe if there's a sale or maybe, you know, maybe when they announce a higher, better resolution model. But VR didn't take off.
Yeah.
Pyre. We did a debrief about that one.
God, we did a debrief about
that one. That was a bummer.
That
there was some good thanks to that. So, that's a bummer. Middle Earth Shadow of War. I did not play it. I heard terrible things. Yeah.
They did some weird loot box shit. They also made Shelob a sexy lady.
Well, I mean, Shelob is always a sexy lady. Let's be honest. Did they really?
Yeah. Shelob is a main character in that game, and she's like the scantily clad Elvira-looking lady.
But not, like, with a spider body? Like, just like a
no,
human
with,
abdomen?
No, with, like, boobs and a butt and everything.
And legs. Human legs.
She is a sexy lady named Shelob the crazy spider lady.
Why?
That's a great question.
That's bizarre.
You might say that it's the video game industry.
Weird. I have a copy of that game, too. I should at least play up to that part.
Yeah. Okay. Nintendo mobile games. Talk to me about this one.
What was it? Mario Run?
I liked that game. I liked that game.
I did not. Yeah. Also, Animal Crossing?
That game was bad. Hold on. We're looking at Shelob.
What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
If there's one thing I imagine Shelob to be, it's this white woman.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, this is, you know, Shelob, the crazy spider lady.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it is very weird.
At least have like a thorn or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, you know.
So, I don't know.
Animal Crossing, I heard, was pretty rotten.
Pretty rotten, but...
I didn't like Fire Emblem Heroes either.
You know, like, you know that scene where, like, in Jurassic World... where he's laying on the Triceratops and it breathes.
Yeah.
Like, and uh-huh. It expands. I see these mobile games is like, it's that expanding and then contracting of Nintendo's like worldwide familiarity. Because there are people that I know that never play video games that are like, oh man, Animal Crossing came out. I'm so excited. I have nostalgia for this game that I never played, you know?
Well, Nintendo has said things like, oh, well, we'll use the mobile space as a test bed for future projects. And so that might mean that there's an Animal Crossing in the works. So
we just should see the mobile space as this like weird test bed for like IP recognition?
I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Destiny 2 I had on there because Destiny 1 was really fucking good. And then Destiny 2, the end game
atrocious. Man, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, they had to pivot. Like, as of literally this month, they had this big thing about they're making all of these changes and they're adding new weapons and stuff. And I want to go back. I'm waiting to go back. But that was kind of a surprise that Destiny 2 really dropped the ball that hard.
I heard that the grind isn't as bad, though.
The grind is pretty easy to get up there. But then there was
too easy?
Well, no. I mean, there was that weird thing where they hid the fact that you lost some of experience that wasn't actually being shown, potentially for loot box gain. It was bizarre.
Yeah. It feels like your heart isn't in it for Pyre.
No, because I think that there's something salvageable in Pyre.
Okay.
I mean, I think...
When I was playing that game, you were like, I said, what the fuck, a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, what is...
Come on, guys.
Come on. I'm willing to let it go, though. Okay. I see what you mean. Like, there is hope there.
There is hope. Like, I don't doubt where... I don't think Superman's going to make another good game.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You can't doubt the craftsmanship, even if the outcome wasn't what we wanted. Drawn to Death, we can get rid of. Come on.
Like, that's new. I think The Walking Dead might be a pretty good one.
I think so.
Because
it's just like, what the fuck happened?
Well, not just that. Like, not even just the season, right? But, like... the entire brand of that series.
Or you could even broaden that out to say the entire style of that game. I mean, did we play any Telltale games this year?
Well, so that's one reason not to have it win the what the fuck is because we actually can kind of trace what the fuck, right? Because we sort of know what happened. Like, they were working on an engine that was really outdated. They were creating a ton of different games. Like, there was a limit to what they could produce. Did we really expect this one to be great?
Yeah.
Sam's even sad Sam, about
yeah,
it.
Sam just hates these games too. Sam's version is like, what the fuck? You're not letting me bite any of this?
Come on. What were these books put here for?
VR. None of us have VR headsets, which really is kind of a weird thing.
But we're going to get an email after this where someone's going to try to convince us that it's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. Middle Earth. That was a great game. I mean, the first game was great. You're right. It has to be Walking Dead. I mean, think of how obsessed we were with that game.
Yeah.
And how it completely dropped off the face of the planet for us.
I think the thing, too, is I think there was always a level, almost like the Pyre wave, like, maybe it'll come back. It'll be the big one.
Yeah.
But now I think there's a lot of doubt there.
Yeah. All right. Walking Dead, season 3.
Congratulations/my condolences.
Yeah. Winner of the Man, What the Fuck?
What the Fuck?
Award. All right, here's a short and sweet one.
Getting there. Walking Simulator of the Year. What did we have last year? What won last year?
For what?
Walking.
Oh, I don't think we had Walking Simulator. This is an inaugural one.
Oh, man. I feel like we've done a disservice to the genre.
To Walking Simulators?
To Walking Simulators.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any we're leaving off. Do you think there's any we're leaving off?
Of the best walking simulators of 2017?
Because, I mean, there was a couple strong ones.
I'm sure there's a lot of, like, little indie games we probably didn't play, right?
Oh, that's true, actually. And there was even that, like, Night in the Woods that isn't maybe technically a walking simulator.
I really enjoy Night in the Woods, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you consider that a walking simulator?
No. I think walking simulators by definition should be first person. Yeah. I think so. Or third person.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's do this then. The three one that we have are What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yep.
Hellblade.
Yep.
Senua's Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And Tacoma.
Which is also a floating simulator, that's to be fair. I love Hellblade.
Uh-huh.
I would remove it from the list, mostly because...
Too much combat?
Too much combat.
Because
you're walking, but then you're also fighting. You can also jog a little bit. It doesn't really lock you into walking.
That's true.
In the way that Tacoma and Edith Finch do.
Disqualified by a technicality.
Yeah, disqualified. This year wasn't the biggest year for walking simulators, but...
Yeah.
All three of these games did get a lot of critical praise.
Yeah.
This genre, which we lovingly call walking simulator, even though people hate it, I think I like reclaiming that term.
I really do feel like people did reclaim the walking simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with those three in mind, or two in mind, What Remains of Edith Finch, Tacoma, any of them stand out?
What Remains of Edith Finch had you rolling down a hill as a shark.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty incredible.
That is very incredible. I personally wasn't a big fan of either of these games, as I recall.
Yeah.
I think What Remains of Edith Finch is a better game than Tacoma. I think.
Is Tacoma's narrative scrubbing, you know, the fast forward and rewinding?
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
You're right. That's pretty cool.
Is that something... And...
That's true. That's a pretty cool innovation.
I mean, like, what will that do?
But... In What Remains of Edith Finch, you walk around as a person, as a baby, and as a cat.
That's true.
You simulate more kinds, and an eagle. Which doesn't really walk, but still.
Yeah.
You simulate the walking of others more, right?
That's right. Man,
was
I can't
Virginia
believe...
this year?
No, that was last year. Oh, man. We really should have had this
How
category
did we not
last
this
year.
Category last year?
Let's see. Tacoma had the fast forward and rewind. I think I actually like the story of Edith Finch more.
Yeah.
But that was also because it was a really cheap shot, because it was all about like babies and stuff like
that's
that.
That's true. But Edith Finch was also a clear callback to Gone Home.
That's true.
Which is,
You
know, some might argue the mother of
modern
walking simulators.
In Edith Finch, at the very end, you know, when you see the gravestone or whatever, I'm pretty sure the gravestone, the death date was Sam's birthday.
Ooh, rough.
Yeah. I feel like Tacoma
had more characters. Certainly.
It did, but you didn't see the characters because they
you
were all the
watch
weird,
them
like,
walk.
That's true. They do
so
walk and float.
Yeah.
There was more computer and like AI. There was an actual AI.
There was a real AI.
Man, remember that? Remember all that like world building in Tacoma about going to like Amazon University and having to trade in credits to.
Yeah, that's pretty walking.
That was pretty good.
I would argue.
Yeah.
That's true. But
the metaphors in Edith Finch, though.
And Edith Finch had the weird trippy scene, remember, where the lake dried up
and then
you walk to the house, it's all sunken down.
Yeah.
And walking simulators do a pretty good job of like messing with your perspective.
The kind of...
And I think the physical landscape, the way that like you would open a door and then like secretly get into another room.
That was cool.
The physical space of Edith Finch, I think, was more interesting to walk through than Tacoma, which had very discreet...
Yeah.
Segments that all made sense is just
there
like
was more mystery
in the walking of it.
I think because of the fantasy element and also the line between what is it's kind of like it's what's that genre of literature the Spaniards
like
are
magical
really
realism
it. Yeah
yes
magic it's kind of a magical realism
which I think is where walking simulators actually shine
okay. I think What Remains of Edith Finch.
What Remains of Edith Finch. Congratulations.
Walking Simulator of the Year. Yeah. Woo.
I'm excited because I think that I bet you there's going to be more good or interesting walking simulators next year.
I think this will probably come back. It should have been last year. We made a mistake, but I think this probably is going to be a recurring theme.
Yep.
Okay. You have stuck with us on our little
Heroes.
Troll path.
Mm-hmm. Now the raison d'etre
yes.
of this podcast.
2017's gamiest game.
Love this category.
The gamiest game.
So
of
in the past, what won last year? What was our titular gaming winner?
Let's check out 2016. I believe it was No Man's Sky.
Yeah, No Man's Sky was the gamiest game.
Yeah.
So when we say gaming...
Man, last year was a good year.
It was a good year for gamey games.
It was No Man's Sky, Pokemon Go, The Witness, The Division, and Stardew Valley.
All good stuff.
Those are fucking gamey-ass games.
So what is a gamey game? In the way that I think of it, it is somewhat calling back to like gamey meat. It's chewy. Like there's a lot of like... It's a little rough, maybe. There's some cartilage in there, you know? Like, it is
gets in your teeth.
Gets in your teeth. It just sort of sticks around. Ew, what is this UI system? Get it out of there. It is a game that both encapsulates some of the things that make games super interesting and a lot of the things that make games really bad.
Yeah. It's some of the things that make games the least approachable as well.
Yes, also true.
Yeah.
I believe one of the stars of not this year's gamies, but the previous year's gamies was... Metal Gear Solid.
Oh yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Not only because that name is absolutely amazing and ridiculous, but there was like a whole Facebook minigame inside of The Phantom Pain. So there was like layers of gaminess.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, do you want to read the nominees?
Okay, not the nominees are Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Oh god, even the name is gamey. I love it.
Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Star Wars Battlefront 2, Doki Doki Literature Club, and Getting Over It.
Yes. Benefit is Getting Over It.
This is a good list.
This is a good one. This is a good one. Right. I love that it's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Like, I love voting for gamey games when their titles themselves are gamey.
Yeah.
Because if you took, you know, like, look, my mom knows who Mario is.
Yeah, exactly.
But if I was like, Mom, PUBG.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, well, what does that stand for?
Yeah.
Oh, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. That doesn't tell her anything. Exactly. There's no information.
That's true.
Like, what does that mean to be a player unknown? Yeah. Who is unknown?
Who's
who
a player
is this unknown,
unknown
player?
Where is this battleground?
Are you the unknown player?
Why is it his battleground?
Why is it multiple battlegrounds? You said there was only one map, George.
Yeah, that's a great one. And also, it's an online multiplayer shooter.
Yes, and it's broken. It is just quite literally busted as fuck. It's also early access.
Yeah, well, actually, they might squeak it out by the end of the year.
I think they'll squeak PUBG out this year because it'll have to launch on the Xbox One.
Yep.
But that alone, right? Like, PUBG hit this
early
critical
access,
success well before it was ever released. Imagine trying to describe to someone, like, oh, okay, when did this game come out?
This game has millions of concurrent players. It's not out yet.
It's not out
yet. Also, you can't mantle in it because it's on the public test server.
Exactly. Like, oh, there's also things that you can sell for real currency, like a purple skirt that sells for, like, $3,000.
Destiny 2. Destiny as a series is a fucking gamey-ass series.
Super gamey.
Destiny 2, is it gamier than the first one?
It is gamier because there's more loot box shit.
Yeah, that's true.
And
the currencies are
still...
They
kind of shit the bed.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. That's a good point, though. The currencies are streamlined, so maybe less gamey than last year.
But I mean, I feel like everything they did to Destiny 2 was meant to basically sand off the edges.
Sand off the gaminess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in its way, makes it even more gamey because
that's
now
true.
It's more mainstream and more like, oh, this is just there to make you feel good about the Skinner box that we put you into.
And that process itself is indicative of gaminess.
Yeah.
Like, that is itself gaminess.
Yeah.
To shave off an edge and only make it more gamey is itself gaminess. This is the meta-ness of this category that I love so much.
And I think Destiny 2 is probably one of the most meta entries on this category because it's
yeah for sure. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild,
I mean, fuck, if part of gaminess is just sheer volume of game, I'm pretty sure I still haven't seen every area of that game.
That's definitely true.
I played that game for dozens and dozens of hours.
The systems approach to the design in Breath of the Wild is very gamey and is one of the things that I like. But I think you can make a good argument that it's less gamey because everything is just sort of intuitive.
Everything works the way you think it should work in the world.
Yeah. You could. There are times in Breath of the Wild where you forget how gamey it actually is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Star Wars Battlefront 2. Oh, God. This is gamey because it's just a trash fire.
Yes.
It's gamey in that in 2017, part of what a video game is public perception.
Yes.
And this had one of the biggest and most terrible public perceptions
that,
of the year.
The public reaction against Battlefront 2 is so gamey.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I also hear the single player was kind of bad.
And
which
it's
is
Star
ironic.
Wars.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is crazy because there's a fucking Star Wars movie coming out this year.
Yeah.
And it's a saga movie, not just a random side story.
That's right.
I bet Disney is pissed.
Oh, yeah.
That this game is not selling millions and millions of copies.
I'm sure someone is very, very mad. Because this extends, right?
Yeah.
Like, when I think of Star Wars, if I associate it with Battlefront, yeah. I never will.
Yeah.
I watched all of the Star Wars movies this weekend, by the way. 12 hours of movies.
Holy crap.
Doki Doki Literature Club.
I don't know what this is. Yeah.
I'm going to spoil this. So minor spoilers, well, significant spoilers for Doki Doki Literature Club. So keep that in mind if you're listening and you want to play this game. It's a free-to-play game on Steam.
Okay.
I might recommend it.
Okay.
It is a romance dating sim, right? Where you're like, oh, you go to this literature club and there are three girls and which one are you going to woo and stuff. And then it quickly slips into a really unsettling, dark, fucked up horror game where at one point, like, the girls start killing themselves and, like, one woman walks in on, like, a dead one and then she, like, barfs all over herself.
Oh, Jesus.
And there's, like, weird poetry and then one of the girls, like, kidnaps you and then they read your Steam profile. So even though you named I named myself Shen or whatever, they're like, oh, your real name is George, and starts talking to the player and his meta. Funny. And you have to go into to get rid of her, you have to go into your game file and delete the character file so that you can replay the game when she's not fucking with you.
Oh.
So,
man, Doki this really Doki, could have been Frog Fractions too.
Doki Doki definitely could have been Frog Fractions too if that game hadn't already come out.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking gamey.
That's, yeah.
And it's gamey in a genre that is, like, not one that people really pay attention to.
That's true. It's subverting an already obscure genre.
Exactly.
Which means
the
people playing it are already really devoted.
Super niche, right? Yeah. Like, you have to be both into that to understand, like, the jokes and the way that it's upsetting it, and horror games, and anime horror in particular.
Getting Over It.
Yes.
Bennett Foddy's latest physics hellscape.
Yep. A self-punishment nightmare. That's all about how pointless it is to put an effort in things, but also how meaningful.
Yeah, I think it encapsulates a lot of video games, which is arbitrary challenge, frustration, but extreme pleasure when you overcome that arbitrary challenge and frustration.
Yeah, it has my favorite game trailer of the year.
Yes.
Where it's talking about the game being made for someone. Yeah. And that someone might be you.
Yeah.
And that someone likes to suffer, basically, and has, you know, no logic when it comes to playing a game like this.
This is a good list. I think there has to be something about the kind of weird disaster that is the monetization scheme of video games.
Yeah.
And the closest Zelda gets to that is DLC. And that's downright tame in 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So I think I'm cool with taking
losing that
off the
list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would drop Destiny 2 because I think Battlefront 2 encapsulates some of those elements well enough.
I mean, probably Battlefront 2 is the best thing to happen to Destiny 2 this year.
That's
because
true.
It like diverts the attention.
In
of,
that
like,
same time frame,
too.
My big question about this category is I feel like we need to in some way capture the ridiculousness that is that backlash and culture and loot box thing. In some of these other games. It doesn't exist in Doki Doki Literature Club.
That's true.
It does, I think, exist in PUBG a little bit.
Also, PUBG is now riddled with cheating.
That's true.
Which is inherently gamey because people are now trying to get good at a game in a way that kind of defeats the purpose of even playing a game.
Yeah. I mean, there are now very large-scale live tournament events for PUBG, and it's not even out yet.
Oh, fuck. That's a whole...
There's esports.
Actually, no, fuck. I think, to me...
You think PUBG is gamiest?
I think PUBG is the gamiest because look what it has. It has nightmarish voice chat you're inside the plane.
Very good point.
It has fucking jank up the wazoo. Good and bad.
Yep.
It has...
Early access.
It has loot boxes.
Yep.
It has esports.
Yep.
It has a whole, like, beta server aspect to it. It has rampant cheating problems.
Yep.
And... It's also a third/first-person shooter, which is one of the most classic versions of video games you could possibly have.
And it's owned by a major Korean company.
Yes, a shadowy Korean
company. That's a very good point.
And it's already gotten into drama around being cloned.
That's a very good point. Do you think, though, that the philosophy of Bennett Foddy's Getting Over It does encapsulate all of those things. Because that...
It's distilled.
That Benefit is getting over it. That is the games industry. That is that is games.
But it's not...
It's a commentary on
it. It's a commentary on it, and it doesn't fall victim to it.
That's true. You have to be both about and of it, I think, to win the category.
And if you were to explain to your parents, what is getting over it? Well, at its base, it's a very complex platformer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And
but try to explain every aspect that we just talked about at PUBG, and you could have like a 12-hour lecture.
Yeah. I think that's the fucking gamiest game of 2017.
I think that might be the gamiest game of any of the winners thus far.
Yeah, that's pretty.
You know, like if
gaming.
We were gonna have one of those series of like Survivor where we call back all the previous.
Yeah,
winners.
When we have the like Tournament of Champions in fucking 10 years of the gamies.
Yeah,
actually, that would be really.
That's
fun.
A great one.
And
yeah.
So in a few years,
the
we'll
gamiest
have to do
game,
the gamiest gamies.
I like that. The gamiest gamey winners.
We'll put a fucking reminder.
I think
our
at
calendars.
That point we need to just open up voting to our listeners. You know, like we just need to have like a full on.
And then in Kojima style, ignore it all.
The gamiest games. Maybe what we'll do is the gamiest games of the 2010s.
That's
2010
that's
through. Although we only had the category going for a little while, I guess.
I guess that's fair. But anyway, congratulations.
Congratulations to all our winners.
To all of our winners, especially PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
The gamiest game of 2017.
The gamiest game.
That guy, we'll send you a ribbon, whoever you PlayerUnknown you are.
PlayerUnknown.
I think his name is like Mike or something. Yeah.
Your trophy is on its way. You actually, it's funny, that trophy travels around from game to game. So we actually have to go into No Man's Sky. Somewhere in the universe exists the trophy.
That's right.
It'll take us a while to find it.
I mean, that dude's not giving it back, dude. It's the only award he won. Yeah, are you kidding me?
True. That's very true. Oh my gosh. This is always one of my favorite podcasts of the year.
Yeah. We love the gamies.
I hope everyone enjoyed it, or at least tolerated it. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. What's next week? Are we doing Game of the Year next week?
I think next week we're going to do Game of the Year, if we can get our act together.
Oh my gosh.
Because we still have to do Game of the Year.
Yep.
We got to do 2017 Leftovers, of which
leftovers.
There will be many.
Yep.
We got to do Looking Forward to 2018.
Yep, the year ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to podcast about, so we're squeezing it in here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, come by next week for sure.
Yeah.
And let us know what you think was the gamiest game of the year, for sure.
We want to hear about it. All right, until next time, everybody, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye. Every time we disagree.